If you're looking for a fling, or a lifetime, or a, well, I'm free Friday anyway kind of thing, find it on Bumble. Fall in love with dating. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Bumble. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, and I'm here to serve you intimate conversations around sexuality and pleasure. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat with Alma Proenza. Alma is hot on the internet and even hotter in real life. As well as being a multi-talented artist, Alma has taken the world of OnlyFans by storm. In this intimate conversation, we talk about OnlyFans, morals, money, and mental health. We go into the complexities of the female orgasm and how exploring self-pleasure is one of the greatest gateways to reaching the big O. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome, Alma. Thank you so much for coming.
All right.
So lovely to have you here. Let's just get straight into it, shall we? So where are you from and what's your family background?
I'm half Portuguese, so it's on my dad's side. I was born in London, but I didn't spend much of my life there. I think I was like one when we left. That's where my parents met, and my mum's a Kiwi. I feel like she's got something else going on in her bloodline because she's like real brown and both her parents are real white. So I want to get her to delve into that a bit more, but I think she's taking her time. So I can't confidently say exactly what's going on my mum's side. But yeah, half Portuguese, half Kiwi, whatever, mum. And I grew up in Western Springs.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You need to get one of those tests, you know, you can see.
Yeah, I've been trying to get her to, but she's just, I guess, yeah, there's no kind of urgency around it for her, but I'm just like so nosy. Yes. I'm like, why do you look so different to your sisters?
You could get one for you though.
And yeah, I feel like, yeah, that yeah. would be the most logical thing to do, is figure out what's going on.
Amazing. And what are your pronouns and what do they mean to you?
My pronouns are she, her, and I don't know exactly what they mean to me. That's how I identify. I'm like real proud to be a woman. I think it's something to be real proud of.
Beautiful. And
yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with identifying any other way. I'm just like stoked and being that way for me.
Beautiful. And what's your sexual orientation in this moment and what does that mean to you?
I would say I identify as bisexual. I don't know what it means to me. I haven't had a whole lot of time to explore that side of my sexuality. So I guess right now there's like a little bit of frustration tied into it because I feel like that's a part of me that I haven't completely tapped into.
Mm.
But it's hard when you're in a heterosexual relationship. But I don't know. For the future.
For the future, yeah. Absolutely. There's plenty of time.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I hear you're an OnlyFans superstar. Can you give me a rundown of what that actually is and how it works?
So OnlyFans is like a subscription-based site, and you can honestly put like whatever you want on it, but I feel like everyone knows that for the most part it's surrounded around like nudity and porn and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where like what most creators do who are on there. I think when they like on OnlyFans as a site, when they try to promote themselves, they do it for like fitness influencers and like people who are sharing secret meals and stuff. But it's like, you're not fooling anyone. But yeah, so you set a subscription price per month. People subscribe, pay to see your content. There's like a main feed where I just kind of put mainly like underwear photos, mm, and nothing really kind of like full nudity. And then like that stuff is in PPV, which is like pay per view. So that goes out in messages and you put additional prices on that stuff. It's not how everyone runs it, but I think a lot of people do, where it's like main feed. It's like someone said on, I think I saw it on TikTok maybe, they were like, the subscription fee is like door fee at a strip club, and then like if you want to dance or you want anything like on top of that, you pay more. So I think that was like a good kind of straightforward way to put it for people who are subscribing.
Yes.
But yeah, that's how
amazing
it works.
So people subscribe to your page and they pay like an OnlyFans fee, or they pay for your, they get that for free, they get the like feed for free, and then
they get the feed for free.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so OnlyFans takes, out of every payment that you get, they take like a small cut.
Okay.
From that. That's how it works.
Okay. Yeah. And then are you creating like personalized content for people, or
no? I think I like tried to at the beginning, but I just get a bit like tired by it. I'd rather, yeah, like what I usually do, I don't really do custom stuff, but if like I'm in the mood to do anything that would be like for pay-per-view, I would just do it and then send it out in bulk and just be like, I don't do custom stuff, but like I will send out videos every now and then, so like just wait for that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And like, how many subscribers do you have
right now? I can tell you, I don't know, I haven't been trying very hard.
Yeah.
Which is like not the best. I think at the most, like my highest point, I had like 350 or something. Right now I have 195.
Amazing.
It seems to just like stay around that amount.
Yeah.
It sways between like 180 to 200. People come and go.
Mm.
But yeah.
Amazing.
Which is like, it's honestly, I guess because like I'm used to seeing follower amounts on like Instagram and stuff where they come in like the hundreds and thousands. But then when I think about like 200 individual people in a room looking at me naked, I'm like, gosh. Oh shit.
Totally. Absolutely. <Yeah.
laughs> And then when I think about it, it feels a lot bigger when I think about it that way.
Yes. Do you love it?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, like, taking notes is something I do regardless. So with the main feed stuff, it's like I would be taking those photos anyway. Now it's just like I have a, it's like a little gallery space for it,
yeah,
where I get
amazing
paid for it. So it doesn't really feel like it's that much different. It's only just like I feel like I have in the past crossed like a few personal boundaries in terms of like what I was putting out, just out of like people just want, they always want more. They want like more graphic content. They want like full nudity and stuff. And then I was like very clear in what I would and wouldn't do when I first started it, and then this like kept pushing and pushing and doing more and more stuff that I said I'd never do. So for the most part I'm okay with that, but then sometimes I look back and I'm like, would yeah, anything that like I'm not comfortable with being, I'd feel kind of betrayed and upset if anything got leaked regardless. But there are some stuff on there that I'm like, I literally could not care less if someone random, if it got out on like Twitter or something, or like a Reddit feed. But there are some videos that I've sent out that I'm like, I fucking hate. But like, I can't even like watch them back.
Wow.
So yeah, I love it except for when I like overstep those personal boundaries.
Yes.
Just to like make a bit more money. Because you make shitloads of money, and that's what's like hard to like not, I don't know, it's hard to worry about morals when you're just like getting so much money.
Totally. <You're> like,
so that's it. I'm like, I do love it because like I'm like the most financially secure I've ever been in my entire life.
Mm.
But at what cost?
Wow. Yeah. And do you feel like are like the subscribers, are they from New Zealand or are they around the world?
I think sometimes people don't realise it's not anonymous. So they'll subscribe with their full name and I'll be like, that's funny. Used to work with you or like went to high school with you. And then like quickly their username will change. I'm like, I saw it. So it's happened a couple times where like I've known exactly who it is, but I don't ever really care.
Hmm.
And then, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there was like some girls from Auckland who subscribed. It's like the only kind of nasty experience I've had with it, where they like went to a party and all sat around and like looked at it and then went around and like told people that I fist myself, which I just don't do. And it would be fine if I did, but I don't. And so I was like, that was like the only time where I was like, oh, this fucking sucks. And like, Aucklanders suck. And it's like too small of a city to be exposing yourself to that extent. But it also was just not true. I was like, oh, okay. That's like the... And then I think there are a lot of people from overseas. A lot of people in the States.
Okay.
Which feels a lot like safer territory. If everyone could just be from overseas, it would be much better.
Yeah. Can you filter your audience? Like, could you like be like, I don't want anyone from New Zealand to see it, or...
I don't think so. I haven't looked into it very much.
That would be
great. It would be a really, really, really helpful feature, I think. But then also, I'm like, how much of my audience would I lose if I didn't filter out, like, New Zealanders?
True. Yeah. Amazing. And what about, you mentioned you're in a relationship. Do you talk about OnlyFans with your partner? And how
Well, I was doing it, like, quite a, like, well before I met him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of like, we don't really talk about it. Honestly, it's just kind of something that happens in the background. Mm-hmm. And I've asked in the past if he wants to do stuff with me, and he's not keen, and so I just haven't really pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think just recently I, like, told him about a message I'd gotten, like, some dude being kind of gross or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I just don't want to hear about that. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool. Good to know, because I hadn't really like told him about any of the messages I received or anything, because it just totally feels like a completely separate world and like a little bit of an alter ego thing where I just like kind of like, I hope none of my subscribers are listening, but I totally just like entertain a kind of fantasy world. Just what you have to do, you have to like kind of suck up to these people, make them feel real special to be there, and but it's so separate for
interesting. And is it, do you love that sort of fantasy element of it, like going into that sort of alter ego
world? To an extent, but it's the same thing with like the video stuff. Sometimes I just like look at it and I'm like, that's not you. It's so far away from being me that I'm kind of like, that's gross.
Wow. So when you think about the driving forces behind why you're doing it, are you like, obviously the money, you mentioned the money is amazing.
Well, that was the way it all started. Mm-hmm. I was in such a awful, stressful place financially, and I just like didn't know many other routes to take, because I was working so much, and just was not I was just, yeah, it was just so stressful.
Mm.
And then I think I'd seen like a few other people I knew doing OnlyFans, and there's this like one creator on TikTok, Hawk, she's amazing.
Mm.
Well, they're amazing. And that was kind of just seeing more and more people doing it. Mm. I decided to do it. Also, I think because a lot of the people on TikTok specifically who do OnlyFans is so, they create such a nice space in terms of conversation around it. It's not like stigmatized or anything.
Mm.
And so kind of, yeah, they talk about it in like a really empowering, kind of beautiful way. And so it's like, that gave me a bit of confidence to do it. But that was the whole reason it started in the first place, really, is because I was quite desperate.
You're desperate for money.
But then I got to a space where I wasn't as much, and it's just like a nice thing to have going on in the background. Because like I said, I'm taking those photos regardless.
Yeah.
And I really like taking notes. So
yeah, totally.
I just put them up every, and it's just like, I don't think I've sent out video content in like 5 months or something.
Mm.
It's just been like a, just like a steady roll through on like the main feed and yeah.
Amazing. And so behind the, like, you love taking nudes, is there like a piece of like feeling really empowered or like sensual in your body, or like what is the, when you say you like taking nudes, what is the feeling behind that?
Yeah, I guess that exactly. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've been taking nudes for so long now that it's just like, or if like you're walking past the mirror and you catch yourself,
you're like, damn girl.
Yeah. Just take a little pic. Also, I like my flatmate Gina, she's a really amazing photographer.
Hmm.
And in 2020 she took some photos of me just at our house, and that was real fun, making it like less phone based and less kind of sporadic, and like actually making it into like a, putting a lot of effort into it and setting up a whole environment for the photos and stuff, and it being like beneficial for her too, because that's like her craft.
Mm.
So that was cool when she kind of offered to do that. We've done that quite a few times now, and that just kind of opened up a whole different layer to, I guess, similar to like when we're shooting with Rob, when it's like a two-way thing and there's someone who like really knows what they're doing behind the camera and knows how to, because she's so amazing. She was so like just like telling me what to do with my body and where to move it and stuff. I wanted to just like start a business where she takes photos for people for OnlyFans, because I feel like there's no one doing that, and a lot of them are like, I've had ever since I started getting tattooed, I've had people asked to photograph me naked, I guess because I've got tattoos everywhere, but I've never ever said yes, because they're often men and I don't know them very well. And that was what, I just never felt comfortable with those advances. I was just like, I didn't see how it would benefit anyone other than them, really.
And, yes.
But it was really nice to create that relationship with Jenna and have that.
Beautiful. Long-winded. That's a great business idea. No, I love that.
I know. I just feel like I feel like it would go for a lot of other people doing any kind of work like that. It's hard to find photographers who make you feel real comfortable.
Mm. And
she's just so like she's like, when she's photographing you, she's obviously aware of your naked form, but it's not, she's not seeing you like that. It's just, yeah, it's just very, I've like never been so comfortable before.
Mm.
Probably helps that I've lived with her for like 3 years as well. But yeah, I think it's fair to say she makes other people feel that comfortable as well. We've shot with Ash and stuff. And,
Beautiful. And I know that you're a businesswoman as well. And so how does that sort of sit alongside the OnlyFans?
Well, they kind of just don't.
Yeah.
And I've been quite purposeful about that. I'm totally sure that my clientele with tattooing know about it. But I really like, there's not, when I first started it, I had the link just like sitting in my bio, but I wouldn't really promote it on my main account.
Mm.
And then eventually I phased that out, and I have a personal account. And that's where I don't even promote it that much on there anymore. It's just the same deal. I just have like the link sits in my bio all the time.
You mean on your Instagram?
Yeah. But I was, quite purposeful around keeping those two things separate, my tattooing and my OnlyFans, because I didn't want, I've had like people ask me whether it was like a deterrence or something. I don't think it has been, but I guess I wouldn't really know.
Mm.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that. I would never want to make anyone feel uncomfortable if they were to like find out, or I don't see why it should make people feel uncomfortable. That's the thing about OnlyFans. I've had that conversation with a few other people. It's actually, it's so tucked away and hidden, and you have to pay money to look at it, but it makes people so upset. I'm like, why are you upset when it would only affect you if you paid the subscription fee?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it is so.
Do you mean just like day-to-day people and your life feeling upset by the fact that you're on there creating this content? Or what do you mean by
I feel like upset? It's just a general stigma around it. But also, yeah, there was just kind of like a bit of an uproar when I first started doing it. A lot of people had a lot of stuff to say.
Mm.
It was funny because like as soon as I did it, I could just like text to my mum and I was like, I'm doing this. Because she's the only person I really care about knowing about it. And she was like, cool. Mm. And I'm pretty sure she knows I still do it. I'm just like very open with her about it. And that was, I just had like male colleagues. One guy was like, what would your sister think? And what would your mum think? And I was like, they already fucking know. Yeah, it was. And I mean, I guess they felt a right to comment because we're colleagues and maybe they thought it could by extension affect them too. But it was the same thing where I'm like, no one can see it unless you're paying. Just don't pay. Like, it's really easy, so easy to avoid ever seeing what I put up there. But like, I guess just like in an attempt to avoid any of that, I've been quite conscious of keeping them separate. And if my clients, I've had a few female clients bring it up with me, and when that happens, if they bring it up and they want to talk about it, I'm so happy to talk about it. Because sometimes people want to do it themselves, or they're just curious, and like, yeah, I don't want to even make people feel like there's any shame tied to doing anything like that. So I'm just very happy to talk about it. But would never just like be tattooing someone and start talking about it on my own accord. Yes. I think that would be crossing a line.
Yes.
But yeah.
Amazing. So growing up, what were the stories, what was the conversation around sex and pleasure from your parents and your caregivers and teachers and society, and what was sort of the messaging you were getting?
Honestly, I can't really remember. I remember my dad trying to have a talk with me, but it was like very short and brief. I think it's the only time we ever talked about sex. And then I can't really remember my mum talking about it, but I feel like she just existed in a way and raised me in a way that, like, I knew she was always a safe person to go to. That's why I feel so comfortable talking to her about doing OnlyFans, and like every relationship I've ever had, she's like known about it in the fullest detail. So I can't remember a pivotal point where we even explicitly talked about it, but I just always kind of knew that she was safe to talk about it with. And school, I can't remember. I remember just like drawing pubes on diagrams of bodies and stuff. But that's kind of like the extent of it. I feel like I maybe was at school in a time where like education around it wasn't that prominent. But I don't know.
Interrupting this delicious conversation with an important announcement. There is literally nothing that excites me more than well-made lingerie, especially when it's super comfy and cozy and looks good. Vidaris is a New Zealand lingerie brand focusing on well-being through combining thoughtful design, ethical and sustainable materials, and mindfulness. Made from the most deliciously soft Tencel, I feel like I'm wearing nothing at all while still feeling supported, comfortable, and super sexy. The range consists of beautiful soft-cut bras, three knicker styles, I'm a massive fan of the Whitney thong, and pyjamas that focus on the power of colour to enhance a mood. Depending on what I want for the day, I love the idea of subconsciously or consciously picking a colour to encourage a feeling I need to channel. One day I might go for poise green, a colour of growth and new beginnings to help inspire a new way of thinking. Or maybe I'll choose Shield Black because I feel like I need a little bit more protection that day. All you lovely listeners can experience Videris at 20% off with the code FINGERFOOD. And you can find their gorgy lingerie at www.viderislingerie.com. That's www.viderislingerie.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Did you go to an all-girls school or did you go
No,
to
I went to co-ed schools my whole life, yeah.
Yeah. And was there, like amongst your, like, conversations amongst your friends, like, would you talk about sex with each other or would you
yeah.
talk about self-pleasure or would you, was there any, like, slut-shaming that went on or?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like for a lot of people in my age, that would have been quite just a prominent thing through high school specifically. Slut shaming and stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I remember, I think, maybe turning like 17 and having a few conversations with friends that were so reassuring because we'd been having sex and stuff. All of us, not with each other, different people. But there were just so many things that were scary and confusing about it. Even just like queefing. I remember when someone else said that, a friend of mine said that she queefed and I was like, holy fuck. It was like the biggest wave of relief because I was like, thought it was just something wrong with me. It didn't even happen that often, but when it did, it was just so unbelievably embarrassing.
Oh my God, it was the most deepest of shames, wasn't it?
I don't think I've queefed in a couple of years, but I should touch wood. But that was like, and every time I slept with someone new, I was like, oh my God, and what if that happens? But
it's so natural and normal.
I know.
It's like we're being penetrated, air is going inside of us. Like,
totally.
The air is coming out.
Yeah.
Like, what's the fucking deal about it?
I know. But yeah, just like some. Just like little kind of specific things around sex that you could feel ashamed about or just confused about was the main thing, I think. And I remember, having just like a couple conversations like that. We were all in a group together, me and my female friends, and we all talked about it. And it was so nice to finally have it. And then, like, ever since then, I think we all felt really comfortable being open. And now it's like, I don't talk about sex a huge amount unless there's like something specific to document, but I feel real comfortable, you know. But up until that point it was terrifying terrain to try to navigate by yourself. It's so like
petrifying. I know. And there's just so much like I remember even at my school, like the girls just we didn't talk about self-pleasure or masturbation any of that. It was like so taboo.
I definitely I mean that was something I think that went on a bit further, like even into my like early adult life. Just that kind of like just like finding it like inherently gross, which is insane to me that it was ever. I don't know where that would have stemmed from. But I remember just kind of being like, oh, yeah, nah, like, yuck, and, like, masturbation's a bad word. And then And then, like, figuring out that I'd never had an orgasm was such a thing. I think I was, like, 21 or 22. I was talking to my best friend. Because everyone would be like, oh, you'll know. And I was like, are you all just bullshitting, though? And it's like, has it happened? And I just, like, didn't actually know. But it's true, you do know.
Sure you know.
But at the time, I was just like, it's been so long. Like, maybe it did. And then... and then getting my first vibrator, and even then just, like, feeling so kind of freaky about it and kind of, like, naughty for masturbating.
Yes.
And then when I, like, had an orgasm, I was like, holy shit, this is insane. And it was, like, because of masturbating. I'd, like, never...
Yes.
So for that, I'm thankful. But, like, why it took me so long to be okay with self-pleasure is, like, I don't know. Mustn't have just, like... I don't think anyone even, like, said explicitly it was a bad thing. I just think it maybe wasn't discussed that openly, and that's why I, like, decided it was, yeah, just very taboo.
It's so interesting to dissect that, because I also didn't have an orgasm until I was, like, 26, and it was from a vibrator when I could finally do it.
26 is...
quite late. Yeah. And I remember being like, maybe I've had one, but I'm not really sure. And then I... did have one with the vibrator, and I was like, okay, I haven't. I get it now.
Yeah.
And, like, actually, imagine if we were encouraged to, like, explore our bodies, and, like, if, like, our friends and our teachers and our parents were like, okay, before you interact with anyone else, like, how does it feel, like, how does pleasure feel in your own body, and, like, what, how do you like to be touched and all these things? And it's like, I just feel like conditioning around not wanting to touch ourselves is almost like why it took so long.
Fully. I think that's, like, been quite a thing in my relationships, is I would experience so much frustration towards them because they would not do anything right. But when asked openly what I liked, I'd be like, no. And I didn't know. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, just expecting people to figure it out without ever knowing myself. And so, I feel like things would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, and that's such an interesting point as well, around being like, well, I don't know what I like. It's like, you figure it out. And then I feel like I've been guilty of this as well, where you're like, oh, that person was so shit in bed, or oh my God, he didn't know what he was doing, or whatever. And it's like, well, they don't know what they're doing because we haven't explicitly, like, been like, this is what I like.
Yeah, fully.
But, yeah, there's a lot of expectation that I think, especially in, like, heterosexual relationships, around, like, the man should know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, totally. And then it's, like, actually, also because every person's body is different, a bit of direction is quite helpful.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so how do you feel about sex and pleasure at this stage in your life right now?
I still haven't had an orgasm from, like, sex, or no one else has ever given me an orgasm. So that's a thing that sometimes weighs on my mind. But I also just, like, I love having sex so much that I, like, don't... I can still orgasm. It's just, like, in a different environment.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm really missing out on anything. And also, I just, like, I like intimacy and stuff. I really like being, like, closeness. But I don't know. I feel, oh, my God, like, no shame to anyone I've ever been with in the past. I just will have to tell them not to listen. But I just feel like I am missing something. I feel like... you know, you read and hear about sex that's, like, amazing and mind-blowing, and, you know, you have orgasms and stuff. I feel like a lot of people I know have orgasms when they have sex, and I just never have.
From penetrative sex, do you mean?
Yeah, or even, like, oral. And I feel, it's I think really it definitely...
common.
Yeah.
So common.
Yeah. And then I wonder if, I'm sure, just, like, people's bodies have a lot to do with that. People obviously operate differently. And, like, a friend of mine just has so many orgasms all the time, just from, like, penetrative sex, like quite normal penetrative sex. I'm like, what is happening? But then I have to realise in moments like that we're probably just built a little different, and that's okay too.
Yes.
But it's also totally my doing as well. Like I'm getting more communicative in term, like in the bedroom, but I'm like, I get frustrated, and like if it's not good the first time, I just say like oral sex. If it's bad the first time, I'll literally be like, don't ever fucking do that ever again. So it's embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure I wouldn't be that good either. That's the thing. I'm like, but the standards I set for other people are unreal. So I think like I put up a lot of barriers, but yeah. And then I have tried to integrate like my vibrator, but there is just like the biggest mental block that comes into play when I'm like with someone else. And I think it's because like a lot of people I've been with, if you try to masturbate, they just want it to be over. Like they just want you to orgasm so that then they can have sex, and that's all that's in my head now, where I'm just like, I feel like I'm on like a time limit, and there's like this expectation and waiting, and then just because of that I just cannot finish. So that's really frustrating. I don't know, I feel like there is a lot I still want and need to unlock. And I think I'm getting better at all of it.
That's amazing. I really appreciate your honesty and vulnerability in that, because I think that so often there's this projection of people that, you know, you're out there on OnlyFans, and I would look at you just from my own projection, from like being like sexually expressive and being happy in your nudity to equal like that you're this sexually liberated, you know, like, which obviously parts of yourself are totally there, and it's also really beautiful to hear, because I myself hadn't orgasmed until 26 and I myself struggle with orgasm and sex, and I think it's really, really common amongst a lot of women to experience that, because as you say, everybody's bodies are so different.
I think so, and I get, I guess the people who have, what I've found anyway, the people who have an easier time with it are often the more vocal people, and when it comes to sex, and so, and then even just like the way that media and movies and stuff portray sex. I don't know, did you watch Sex Life, that god awful series on Netflix?
No.
Oh, it was just so bad.
Sex Life.
Yeah.
Not Sex Education.
No. I liked that one.
Love Sex Education.
Yeah. No, oh my gosh, I would never throw shade at that one. I'm pretty sure that was the name of it. It was just like this, just the sex scenes in it, just the way that these women were responding to the most like simple vanilla touches from these men, and I was like, we don't need any more of that anymore, like, because it's just, that's what like plays into it as well, like any kind of insecurity around your own sex. I feel like I was just like watching all these things. I mean, like, these people orgasm so easily, and the media tells me that like this is what sex should look like, and I'll be like, it's not like that for me. And then I think with that it becomes like quite hard to talk about. But just like, these sex scenes in this show, they were just so extravagant, and these women were just like writhing and screaming, and the men were just like not even doing that much. And I was like, stop telling people that they can do that and get that kind of response, because it's not realistic.
Totally.
And I've
Amen, sister. And also, like, I think that there's so much information out there that portrays that image, you know, and porn and the media around fucking Cosmopolitan, like around what it is to have an orgasm. And I think it's a lot of it might be true for a very small percentage of people. And then actually, I mean, I've been fucking diving as far deep into kind of tantric sex as possible for the last little while, because I need to recondition my brain around the goal orientation of sex, and actually just come back to what you were saying around you really enjoy sex and like the act of just intimacy and like being with someone, and like just that alone is really beautiful. And if you let go of like trying to get each other off and just be in the moment of pleasure, like there's nothing more beautiful than that.
Totally. I think that is the point that I've come, that's where I'm at right now anyway. Mm. I'm like, I can have so many orgasms just like alone in bed, and like I'm totally fine to just have that separate from my actual like physical sex life with other people, because it's like I enjoy both aspects of it.
Yes.
And right now, because of the mental block, I can't seem to be able to orgasm in front of anyone else.
Totally. I get it, but
I'm like, that's okay for them to be separate right now, because yeah, it's not like I'm not having fun or like really, it still feels so good. It's just a different thing when,
yes,
yeah.
And totally.
That's all right for where I'm at now.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's beautiful. And so with all the wisdom that you have now based on your life experience with OnlyFans and with your life as a tattoo artist and a businesswoman and all the things and exploring your sexuality and all of that, what would you tell your younger self? What would you tell your virgin self?
Oh my god. to take her time.
Yeah.
Maybe wait a couple more years. Probably just have like a conversation earlier about all the things that are normal and not shameful. Just to like get that out of the way, and I would ask her, for my sake now, to explore her sexuality a little bit earlier. I feel like I'm a little bit delayed in that regard. A lot of other people kind of know where they are and have had more experience, and I'm just feel like I'm catching up in that regard. I don't know.
Beautiful.
Just those things, I think.
How old are you now?
I'm 25.
Those are great. Those are great words of wisdom. Explore your sexuality younger.
Yeah, or just be a bit more open.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. And so I know it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there in terms of OnlyFans and being expressed in that way. And so do you have any advice for anyone or any listeners around how to confidently express the side of yourself and work through this?
It's a hard one. I feel like anyone kind of anxious in nature, which I totally am, it's hard not to listen to those things and the people who hold those opinions. But I feel like OnlyFans is a good place to start, honestly. Like, even if you're not in operation, like, just, like, starting a page and, like, putting it out there, if you wanted to, of course. 'Cause you just, like, everyone who's subscribed to me just like loves it. You've just got people just like hyping you up and like literally paying money to see your naked body.
Amazing.
And so that's quite cool in its own regard. But I feel like health plays a whole lot in it. Like, I was real, real, real unhealthy through the last lockdown that we had, and I don't think I took any photos of myself in that period. It was just because I was just like not in a good place with my body, because I was not treating it well. I was not really moving, and I was eating really terrible food, and it like physically manifested itself. So I think if you're just like treating your body and your mind well, then that will help to feel a lot more at home in yourself and appreciative of your form, because it's at a point, yeah, I got my shit kind of in order and I like exercise a lot now, but I don't even know if like that's the key to it, because it's also so tied in with like my mental state. But yeah, I feel just so good in my body right now because I'm treating it really, really well.
Beautiful. So with good food and good exercise, and are you doing anything for feeding your mental health?
I feel like I should go to therapy or something, but I'm not. I feel like the gym that I go to serves that purpose for me right now.
Totally.
Not because I talk about anything, but because my brain shuts off. Like, I'm in so much pain physically that I'm like... That is the only place my thoughts could possibly go in that moment. So that's nice to, like, every morning have an hour-long break from any thoughts other than, like, stressing over how much pain my body's in.
Yes.
I wouldn't recommend that for anyone, but that's what's been really working for me lately. And then I hang out with my mom a lot. And, my best friend is very, very helpful. Just having a good support system in terms of, like, your friendships, and having such a strong relationship with my mum has proven really helpful. And I've been making some steps recently that are going to be really good for my mental state, so that's
beautiful.
Nothing kind of textbook, but
still.
Yeah, I just think that, like, being out and that I swim so much. I just spent a week in Waitutoko with my family, and that's, like, the only place I really feel, like, complete peace.
Yes.
And I just love, like, my auntie last year. I'd never opened my eyes under the water before, and you can't see much, but it's, like, the colours you see are insane. And she said that to me, we're in Kuruto, and she was like, "Do you open your eyes underwater?" And I was like, "No, what?" And then I did, and it was like, it's all I do now. And so I would just, like, when we were at the lake, I would just, like, walk up to about shoulder height in the water and then submerge myself and just, like, blow out all my air so that I could kind of sit at the bottom of the lake. And you just see, like, the gradient. You can't see shit, but it's, like, the colours are so beautiful, and you can see the light coming through, and I was just, like, being suspended in water. I feel like that's my therapy right now. And you're kind of like, when you're in a body of water that big, it is nice to feel insignificant. And I felt that when I was, like, down south for the first time, being around, like, a landscape that massive, your problems just kind of dissipate naturally because you're like, holy shit, I'm literally so small in comparison to these mountains. Yes. And that's a good, like, when you see it physically, how tiny you are and insignificant you are, it's sort of jarring, but you're also like, by default, my problems are just as small and I should, like, you know?
Love that. I love that reference. That's amazing. Nature is, like, one of my favourite go-tos for quieting the mind and just, like, coming back to my body and realizing that who the fuck am I in this grand
scheme of things. The ocean's good for that, so, like, wild and hectic and powerful. I definitely would always, like, prefer to be lakeside, but I do love the ocean for that reason, because it's just kind of like massive and powerful. Totally has a mind of its own. It's like, it could just, like, pick you up and take you away.
Yes.
And that's another thing in terms of just, like, how small we are.
Beautiful. And finally, the most important question of all, what's your favourite finger food?
I didn't even know. I didn't give that one that much thought when you first posed it. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think about the foods I like eating at the moment. I like cheese and crackers. Finger foods, just like anything you eat with your fingers,
anything,
right?
Yeah,
well, I've been going to Peachy a lot recently, and I have their focaccia and stracciatella. That's my favourite. I could literally, like, live off of that. So for right now, that's my favourite. Yeah,
that's a great answer.
I love cheese.
Delicious. Yum. Well, thank you so much for coming, Elma. It's been such a pleasure having you here.
It was fun.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Bumble. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to find more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.